Yeah. So if you want to go like all out on productivity, you know, basically you turn off all of your notifications, you close your door, and you work on the cognitively demanding work during a time when you're most ready to do cognitively demanding work, when your brain is most ready for it, those 4.5 hours. And so you do not do anything else during those 4 to 4.5 hours. You don't answer emails. You don't pick up your phone. You don't do anything. Now, I will say the brain can really focus intensely for like 45 minutes to 50 minutes at a time. And you can go take a break, but the break is not scrolling through a social media feed. The break is not email. The break is you go get yourself a drink of water. You go to the bathroom. You play with your kids, your pets, your spouse for 10 minutes or so. And then you get back to it, right? The brain needs a little bit of a refresh before you get back to it.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the tools, the technologies, the techniques, the strategies to go from corporate leader to the CEO of a thriving coaching or consulting practice. And today, we are going to talk about the most valuable asset that you have in your business, and that is your brain and the time that you put it to use. And our special guest today is JJ Jank. She is a productivity consultant helping small business owners make more profit in less time with better systems. Her goal is to help entrepreneurs, especially women, reclaim their time, energy, and attention away from busyness and toward joy without sacrificing profits, because we don't want to sacrifice any profits here. We'll drop her website later on in the show, as well as her LinkedIn profile. In the past, she's been a financial planner, and she began exploring behavioral finance in order to better serve her clients and continue to research the neuroscience behind productivity. JJ Jank, welcome back to Life After Corporate.
Thanks for having me, Deb. Great to be here.
Back, because this is the third time we've attempted to record this interview. The first time we had some sound challenges. The second time I was away from my studio and we had connection challenges. So today we're going to get it done. And I am absolutely thrilled to have you here. All right, here we go. JJ, why did you get into this entire area of brain science and productivity and time hacking to make more profits? Like, give us the backstory.
Okay.
How did you get where you are? Were you ever in corporate?
I was. So I think like a lot of your listeners, you know, I did spend about 20 years in corporate and I was in finance. The last 10 or so years, I was a financial planner. At the time, I let it go, but I was a CFP, a certified financial planner, and also a certified divorce financial analyst. And like it says in my bio, I kind of started looking into behavioral finance because I'd be in all these meetings. And, you know, we had clients who were able to do the suggestions. You know, sometimes people that are kind of don't have a lot of money, can't do some of the extra things. But these were people who could do the things that we were suggesting, recommending, and they would be in the with us. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do that. And then 6 months later, we said, hey, you know, did you do the thing that we talked about? The answer was no. So I really was kind of like, okay, well, you know, and I have an MBA, but at the time, and it's kind of funny because when I got my MBA, it was around the, you're going to laugh, the turn of the century.
Oh, we are going to laugh about that one. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to just do a little insert here. I did read an article this week about how people who are older, the older stages of life, are super valuable to corporations who are looking to advance the skill set and their growth, because we hold a lot of wisdom. So it might have been the turn of the tree, but the wisdom is worth it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and my thinking about that has changed over time. When all I had was a degree, I thought the degree was more important. And then as I got the experience, I'm like, oh no, wisdom counts for something too. But yeah, so I got my MBA around the turn of the century. And at the time, so this is like during the whole dot-com boom and bust situation. And so I'm in business school. I'm in these classes that are talking about, you know, rational economic man, you know, the theory that people make rational economic decisions. And I'm like, seriously, you read the Wall Street Journal too. And you're up here telling me people make rational decisions after what we read in the paper today, you know? And so I always found that kind of funny. But, now I think in more business school programs have behavioral economics, behavioral finance, which is the idea that, you know, it isn't entirely rational what a lot of people do with their money. You know, a lot of it's emotional. So that's kind of how I got into the whole study of it, because I was really trying to figure out, well, how do I, you know, us making recommendations and explaining recommendations are doing it. People are not putting our, you know, even if they agree with them, they're still not putting the recommendations into action. Why is that? You know, that has to be something behavioral. And so that's how I really got into the behavioral science, really started learning about the brain, how the brain works. Things like sleep chronotype, which kind of determines like when your energy is right for really cognitively demanding work and things like that. And so I'd really gotten into that and I had started to understand the brain a little bit better. And I understood why I personally had always been super productive. And it's because, and there is a, you know, you and I both know there's a change when you go from working for somebody to working for yourself. Mm-hmm. And one of those obviously is, you know, that you no longer have like the 9 to 5 or whatever the schedule was that maybe your supervisor or your CEO was insisting on when you were in corporate. And that can be difficult for people, but it can also be a real bonus, because if you're not the kind of person who does well in a 9 to 5 environment, then you don't have to do 9 to 5. You know, if your sleep prototype maybe is pushed a little bit later in the day, so you do your best work in the afternoon or later in the evening, then you can, you know, you can shift your hours to account for that. But the other thing about corporate is that's actually not particularly good for our brains.
Really?
Do tell. Yes. So we, you know, as humans, we sort of developed, you know, in the wild, like with predators that were bigger than we were. And, you know, we kind of, you know, one of the reasons that we survived as a species was our big brains and also working together. But because this technological marvel that we live in is not, you know, very, it's not deep in our human history, right? I mean, we've had it for like not even 50 years. We've had smartphones for, I don't know how long, like between 10 and 20, like it hasn't been that long. So although our brains are famously flexible and what they call plastic, so we've adapted to this, it doesn't necessarily mean that the work environment is good for our brains or works in the way that our brains want to work. So, you know, as a species, when we're on the savannah, you know, we didn't even sit down. Like we were, you know, kind of squatting if we weren't standing or lying down. I mean, we weren't even sitting down. Obviously, we didn't have computers. You know, we didn't have spreadsheets. We didn't have any of that. And so as a result, our brains are not really designed for the 8-hour day. That's kind of the minimum in corporate world, you know, mm-hmm. And once you start advancing into C-suite, it's longer, right? But, you know, we really only get 4 to 4.5 hours worth of focused work a day. So that's like the cognitively demanding work. And by that, I mean things like working on spreadsheets or crunching numbers or developing strategies, these processes that kind of use our very developed prefrontal cortex, which is kind of what differentiates us from most other species, is really this. We have this very developed prefrontal cortex that controls executive functioning. And so, and it's the planning kind of, you know, part of our brain. And so we didn't need it when we were sort of growing up as a species. We didn't need it as humans. So we don't have it. You know, we don't have 8 hours a day of that kind of work because we never needed it. And it takes a really long time to adapt to it, not, you know, 50 years, but like hundreds of thousands of years to get that wiring in. So the idea that we're supposed to, you know, try to focus. And then, of course, corporations make it, you know, the corporate world makes it hard for us to actually focus on doing one thing at a time, which is also the way the brain wants to work. one of the things that I'm constantly talking about is this idea, it's a myth of multitasking. Because our brains cannot do two cognitively demanding things at the same time. Can't. Not possible. So what's happening is that the brain's switching very rapidly back and forth, back and forth, back and forth while you're, you know, let's say you're, you know, trying to listen to somebody in a workshop, but you're also trying to check your emails. Yeah, you can't do both of those at the same time. Like, it kind of feels like you are, but what's really happening is you're only giving about half of your attention to each one.
Right. And that drives my husband crazy. Because, you know, I can be sitting at the breakfast table creating a LinkedIn post, or maybe I'm working on a spreadsheet or something like that, because on a Saturday, I can't sit in my office anymore. And you're absolutely right that for some reason, on Saturday mornings, I wake up with spreadsheets in my brain. I have no idea why. I didn't even like spreadsheets in corporate. I'm much more of a speaker, writer kind of gal. But yep. For some reason, my mind wants to do math on Saturdays. And so I just run with it. But I'll be sitting there kind of trying to, and thank God for AI, because it helps me figure out the right formulas. But right. I'm sitting there and Steve is talking to me, and he gets, you know, annoyed with me if I don't pay attention to him and I say what he has to repeat himself. But here I am trying to work on a spreadsheet and he's talking to me and I'm trying to attend to him and I'm coming back from the spreadsheet. And I'm like starting all over again. So it's like everything that you've just said is true in my life. And there is one more thing, because you said so much, I want to pull out some nuggets, is that absolutely right. We weren't designed as humans to do the whole 9 to 5. But the primitive part of our brain that the corporate culture taps into is that fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the competitive environment, because of the patriarchal society, because you get a quarterly review and an annual review. And my God, if you're not on target, you're going to get on a performance improvement plan. It's that whole reptilian brain that is at play in corporate as well, which I find is an energy drainer. Because if you're in fear, if you're worrying about how successful you're going to be or how you're going to rank or if you're going to get the promotion or the bonus or whatever, you can't fully
put
all of your brain to the table. So I'm saying, yes, JJ, yes, 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 I've seen this. So what do we do about it, especially now that we have more control outside of the corporate environment and we're managing our own time and our own focus? What do we do now?
Yeah. So the first thing is to kind of, you know, devise an environment where you don't have to multitask. You know, you're absolutely right about when you're in fear, when you're in fight or flight mode, your prefrontal cortex actually shuts down. It's an energy hog. It just takes everything a really long time. So your brain's like, okay, we're not doing that. We're going to do this part so that we get away from the tiger, because our brains still think, like, when we're in fear, even though it's like a performance review or whatever it is, like, our brains are like, oh my God, it's a tiger. It's going to eat us. And so then and so that's why, you know, we freak out, you know, all of that stuff. But yeah, so we really can't do any logical thinking when we're afraid, you know, when we're in fear, because that part of the brain's just shut off completely. So yeah, so getting away from corporate and getting away from, you know, and there are a lot of, you know, there are things that we learn in corporate that, you know, lead into not doing them is going to help you be more productive, right? So one of the things, and I was trained to do this, but I gave up and just flatly refused to do it, which is, you know, so is this idea that you have to answer every email when it comes in. You know, I mean, that's how we were trained. I was trained that way. But, you know, I'll tell you something. I have had email notifications turned off for 20 years. Like, even in my last job in corporate, I was like, you know what? I can do my work or I can answer your stupid email. Which one do you want me to do? You know, which didn't get me any.
Brad, I'm trying a performance improvement plan.
On the other hand, I was getting my work done. Nobody had any complaints about my work because it got done, because I just, you know, so that's, and that's the great thing about leaving corporate is that you can manage that, these distractions. And I love to speak as well. And I have presentations that are specifically about how you avoid distractions. But So you can, you know, and some of it does require, kind of a little bit of a mindset shift, as a lot of the stuff I'm sure that you talk about with your clients says, because, you know, you can say, look, I am not going to even look at every email when it comes in. I'm going to turn off my email notifications. And I know some people have a hard time with that. And so my recommendation for that is, you know, if you're really struggling, if you really feel like you cannot turn off your email notifications for the whole day, just turn them off during the time that you're doing this cognitively demanding work, when you're doing your crunching your numbers and all that other kind of stuff. Just turn them off when you're doing that, because it'll you know, you'll get through your work a lot easier because you'll be able to focus. You know, they've done these studies, and I don't know how true it is for all interruptions, but there was some kind of, I think it was like a digital interruption where it took, once you got interrupted, it takes 23 minutes to get back to where you were on the task. So, you know, you get interrupted three times, you've lost an hour of work, which is, you know, not super productive.
No, not super productive. And I don't think I can press Steve's mute button. So I think I'm going to have to come into my office all weekend sometimes. But it's so funny. It's so funny that you mentioned that. So there is a cost of task switching. So what do we do? Like, what's the optimal? Give us the time hack, the brain hack. How do we get more done at the right time?
Yeah. So if you want to go like all out on productivity, you know, basically you turn off all of your notifications, you close your door, and you work on the cognitively demanding work during the time when you're most ready to do cognitively demanding work, when your brain is most ready for it, those 4.5 hours. And so you do not do anything else during those 4 to 4.5 hours. You don't answer emails. You don't pick up your phone. You don't do anything. Now, I will say the brain can really focus intensely for like 45 minutes to 50 minutes at a time. And I can definitely say, like, when I'm writing, I can without looking at the cloud, I'll be like, oh, you know, it's been 45, 50 minutes. And you can go take a break, but the break is not scrolling through a social media feed. The break is not email. The break is you go get yourself a drink of water. You go to the bathroom. You play with your kids, your pets, your spouse for 10 minutes or so. And then you get back to it, right? The brain needs a little bit of a refresh before you get back to it. And the way that, and I think a lot of people, I mean, you probably know, you know, you were just telling me about like Saturdays, but you also probably know, like, during the week when we're all best able to do difficult, you know, things that are difficult for your brain. So there's also, it's kind of guided by sleep chronotypes, and there's four. So when I was a kid, everybody was always talking about like being an early bird or a night owl. And I always think to myself, well, I'm neither one of those. You know, I do not get up early in the morning, and you know, as I'm partying or something, I'm not staying up late. And so there's four. So the first one is the lion. That's kind of the early bird. So when you hear those, I call them, you know, productivity gurus. When they're talking about getting up at 3:30, that's because they're lions. And it works for lions. It doesn't work for anybody else, but it will work for you if you're a lion sleep chronotype and you like to get up early and just hit it. I'm a bear. And bears, we actually work pretty well from 9 to 5. 9 to 1 is kind of my best focus time. Yeah, wolves are a little bit later in the day, sometimes afternoon. Sometimes I think a lot of people get a little bit of like a creative hit like kind of later in the day. So not necessarily like the logical number crunching stuff, but like later in the evening, you might get a good idea for a writing. Either. And then there's people who don't sleep well, and they're dolphins. And so generally like middle of the day is good for them to do the thinky work, as I like to call it. There's a lot though, I think, you know, I get a lot of pushback when I say turn off your email notifications. You know, people are kind of worried about messy emails, which I get, you know, especially coming from corporate. But if you want to get your work done, if you want to have a life outside of work, and I mean, look, I love what I do. You know, obviously, I can talk about this stuff all day. I still have other things I like to do outside talking about productivity and helping people with productivity, right? And not only that, but like, it's good for you to do that. Like, it's good for your brain for you to have hobbies and activities and go talk to your, you know, all that stuff is actually really good for your brain, because your brain needs social connection. Your brain needs to do fun things. It likes fun things just like you do. So working 12 hours a day is really actually really bad for your brain, not to mention and not getting a lot done.
One of the things that I've noticed is, I think I'm like you, I think I'm a bear. For me, it's like 10 to 4. Mm-hmm. You know, I hit the wall at 4. I can go for a pretty straight 6 hours and then I'm kaput. So, and also Mondays aren't my favorite day to hit the ground running. So Mondays are team days for us. Mm-hmm. And Fridays are highly creative days for me. So yeah. There's not hours of the day, but the kind of the rhythm of the week as well.
Everybody?
And so Fridays are CEO days, content creation days.
Then
Saturday morning, for some reason, I wake up on fire. Maybe I sleep well Friday night because the week is over. And, you know, Saturday morning, it's like there's stuff that's rolling around in my head that I have to get out. So I schedule some time to do that because it's fun work, actually. It's kind of creative. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find that with your clients as well? There's the rhythm of the day and the brain crunch time, but is there also a rhythm of the week?
There's definitely a rhythm to the week. And that, I think, is more, I think that's more like habit than anything else. But it also works really well because I work with people on time blocking. So, and I know a lot of us in corporate, you know, we had those, you know, weekly planners where every day had like 15 minute increments. And, you know, I'd shoot myself. Like, I'm not dividing up my day into 15 minute increments, you know, like that just doesn't work for me at all. And I think also, you know, the problem with that is that if somebody goes, so you've allotted half an hour for a client talk, let's say, and the client needs, you know, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Well, now your whole day is shot because, you know, unless you built in, you know, some breaks in and around those 50 minute increments. So I like to think of things of more like time blocks. So I've got blocks of time, you know, like hours at a time. So I do have my morning block up, but I also kind of do the same thing. Like I only take client calls or do networking things Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Mondays and Fridays are like CEO days, content creation, although I do some content creation during the week as well. But yeah, this kind of idea of you do have blocks of time where you do certain things. So there is a cadence to the week. And you can, and it's not so much cadence, but also, you know, taking a day off here and there to really kind of work on something, you know, specific, you know, or kind of catch up on your bookkeeping or whatever it is, kind of having those once a month or once a quarter. You know, the idea is that you run your calendar does not run you. So
yes.
You tell it when you're going to do certain things. And
yeah, I love that.
I think, you know, one of the problems when you leave corporate is, you know, corporate, you have fairly defined the boundaries, although you may have bosses that try to kind of push the boundaries a little bit. I had a boss that did that. And I learned that if I just said, no, I'm not doing that, he'd be like, okay. You know, he was just going to push because he could. Mm-hmm. But if I said, no, I'm not doing it, he'd be like, okay, fine. You know, and he was like, okay, you know, I'm scared I'd ask. You know, it was kind of how he thought about it. So as business owners, we have to put those boundaries in place. We have to say, at a certain time of the day, I'm going to stop working. I'm going to go home, you know, which may mean leaving the home office. But
yeah,
spending time with the family, pets, hobbies.
So you mentioned something early on in our conversation. So we've already talked about how people need to take breaks. But there are people who, when they first get started, because of the imposter syndrome and because of the fear of being in this new place, creating this new identity as an entrepreneur, where you're consuming the classes, you're writing the lists, you know everything that you should be doing. But you said, but then you just don't do it, right? So how do you deal with people? And I see it because I can see it in the rooms where my clients are. I know who's going through the motions of getting things done and those people who are actually doing it and getting the results. And unfortunately, there's more of the former than the latter because these, what do you call it, mind traps or self-sabotage, the unconscious ways that our mind goes to kind of hijack what we should be doing. So how do you deal with that? Number one, how do you become aware of it? Number two, when you become aware of it, what do you do about it?
Yeah, I think being aware of it, you know, for one thing, you'll see it, your results, because you won't be getting any, you know, which is place to look. Yeah, I had a coach one time, he told me to look in my bank account to see, you know, what was happening. And there are different ways to kind of get through the procrastination because sometimes, you know, like you had mentioned that sometimes Mondays are hard. And sometimes I think for bears, we actually need a little bit of time to warm up. You know, lion sleep chronotypes tend to be able to just kind of get on things right out of the gate. But some of, you know, it takes a little bit longer. So there's a couple of things, you know, one is, And one of the things I also work on with my clients, because I'm trying to get them away from busyness, is we really work on what are the priorities. As a business owner, what are the things that move the business forward? Because there's always, you know what I mean? Like, you can always write another LinkedIn post. You know, you could always run another survey, whatever. But what are the actions to take that are actually going to move your business forward? So first, you have to be clear on those. Like, what are those things? So those things, you know, they might be networking calls. It might be going to networking meetings and deciding that you're going to, you know, talk to three people, you know, whatever it is. You have your priorities and you have them blocked off. You have time for the priorities. And then once you have your priorities, a lot of times, you know, if it's a big one, it's hard to tackle all at once, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, the way you eat the frog is you do it a piece at a time. So you kind of look at, okay, I have this, and you can do this with any task, you know, it's just kind of look at it, break it down into smaller pieces. You know, what is this, you know, what piece needs to be done first? What chunk needs to be done next? You know, what chunks can I do? And then you give yourself chunks. And one thing, I don't love the Pomodoro method, because
what is that?
The Pomodoro method, it's like there's like a timer. I think there's like a whole book about it. And it's kind of like you do things for 25 minutes, which is why I don't like it, because we can concentrate for much longer than 25 minutes. But I will say, for people that are really having trouble getting started, using the Pomodoro timer and just kind of and saying, okay, you know, I'm going to, you know, maybe feel like you need to read the day's headlines or something. I'm going to read the day's headlines until 10 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, I'm going to put my Pomodoro timer on and I'm going to work for, I'm going to work. And so being able to just kind of say, okay, when the Pomodoro timer goes on, I'm going to get to work, kind of helps people get through that first procrastination. And a lot of times, you know, what you find, hopefully, is as you're doing the work, you know, it's kind of like getting on the treadmill at the gym. You don't want to do it. You're like, okay, well, I'll just get on for 10 minutes and that'll be it. And then once you're on it for 10 minutes, you're like, oh no, I can keep going. So the same thing, you know, once you actually get to it, once you get on the task, you know, then you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm doing it. Okay, this is fine. I think it's like getting to the task, which is really the problem. It's not continuing it once you get to it, right? It's actually just, I have to do the thing.
Yeah.
One of the things we'll work on, you probably heard of the Eisenhower matrix.
Oh, all the time. Yeah, that's yeah. Actually, I haven't used that lately, but that was a key tool during my first 5 years in business. Really kept me focused.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I agree with you. I do think it's one of those things where, you know, it helps, especially when you're starting out, and then over time. Well, I think over time, you just, you know, you grow a team and so you can take care of. So let me just
put on blinders.
Yeah. I'm just doing this kind of work. So the Eisenhower matrix is a 2x2 box. One axis is urgency, you know, how urgent is the task? And the other axis is how important is the task? And so basically, if it's, you know, if it's not important, you don't want to be doing it, whether it's urgent or not. That's not for the business owner to do. Like, that should be delegated out. So the two boxes to play in, the one where people find themselves is the important and urgent, like the stuff has to get done and it's important, so you're the one who has to do it. And what you actually really want to do is reduce the amount of work in that bucket, because then you're still working in your business. And you want to go to that important, not urgent, because that's where the strategizing, the planning, all of that takes place, which is really something that only the business owner can do. It's important work, but it's also like, you know, you're not putting fires out. So when you have a lot of fires to put out, you have to figure out, you know, why are these fires happening, and put in your fire prevention plan.
Yeah. And usually those fires, the urgent and important, are usually things that other people need from you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily the things that you're creating. It's
exactly.
The answering other people's emails who need something urgently. So you're absolutely right. That's a very powerful, powerful tool. Oh, it reminded me too, when you were talking before about the shitty first draft, which is, you know, Anne Lamott in her book,
yep.
Bird by Bird, you know, where she's helping her brother with a science project where he committed to this huge idea of this, you know, all of the species of birds in the entire world. And, you know, he was overwhelmed by it. And she said, come on, we build it bird by bird. And it's similar with writing, you know, we build it word by word. And now we have, you know, productivity tools that can help us. We have AI tools that can take our own content to put it into the shitty first draft, and then we can make it better. So there's lots of productivity hacks that AI can support us with now. So that's been an exciting piece for me, both in the making of spreadsheets and creating formulas that I can then implement and follow, but also is giving me some ideas. You know, one of the things that I feel is daunting is writing a book, because I have so much inside of me, but to sit down and write a book feels overwhelming and daunting. However, you know, I can start with a story. I can start with a chapter. I can take 4 podcast episodes, transcribe them, and put them into ChatGPT and get a draft of something that I can then, you know, react to and massage and make my own. So there's many, many ways that we can focus. But the most important thing for new entrepreneurs is their focus. I see many, many people getting started and just bleeding time away and not having a return on effort because it's easier to do the things that feel like fun. So, you know, just louder for those in the back, if you're doing Canva, you know, get out of there. There are graphic designers on Upwork that can give you 12 different renditions of a particular graphic that you want to create in half the time. And, you know, what people fail to realize, and this is why I've been creating spreadsheets, is the value of your time. So if you left corporate and you were making $250,000 a year and you want to replace that salary, then your time is $130 an hour for 48 weeks out of the year, because no one works 52 weeks.
Right.
So $130 an hour, if you are doing Canva graphics, it's like you're paying a graphic designer $130 an hour, and you can find a free one. I have one myself on Upwork for $62 an hour. So, I mean, to make better decisions with how to focus our brains and spend our times. And so, JJ, how do people work with you? How do they discover their rhythm if they don't know what their sleep chronotype is? It's kind of like your macronutrients, you know, your chronometer, your macronutrients. How do you get the most out of your body? How do you get the most out of your productivity?
Exactly. And I will say, you know, I agree with you that really the brain is your biggest asset, because I know that there are a lot of tools out there, and some of them may be helpful for some people, some of them may not be. But honestly, you know, one of the biggest roadblocks to productivity is your smartphone, you know, particularly if you have social media on it. I recommend, you know, I don't have any social media on mine. I don't have email notifications. Like, I don't have email notifications anywhere. And I also don't have social media notifications enabled anywhere. Like, if I want to go on social media, I have to be sitting at my laptop and go into it. And so that kind of helps me, like, not go down the rabbit hole because I'm at the laptop. But yeah, so really figuring out when is your best time to be doing this work, because, you know, you get your time for the thinky work, and then you can schedule. So, you know, if you're a bear like you and I are, so mornings are for that work, you know, and then so later in the afternoons, you can do your meetings, you can do your email, do your admin, you can do your calls, whatever it is, you know, those things that don't require the intense focus. Yeah. So I feel like I always want to say, you know, the tools that you can find online, the productivity tools like the AI, you know, it'll help you around the margins, but you really have to understand how to use your brain first, how that's going to give you the biggest boost. And then you can kind of tweak around the margins with, you know, different software things. And that's another thing that I say for beginning entrepreneurs is most of the software, like CRM, customer relationship management software, it's all pretty much the same. So don't be spending a lot of time searching for the right one. Just pick one and go, you know? And the same with, you know, social media scheduling tools, like all that kind of software. Just don't spend a lot of time, because you can go down the rabbit hole and be looking at 15 different softwares. No, they all do the same. Uh-huh. Pick one that's reasonably easy for you to use and do it. So I have a couple of different ways that I work with people. One, actually, I'm just introducing this year. I have a half-day workshop, which is really designed for the basics. And it's designed to work with your brain. So each hour is a different subject, but we do 45 to 50 minutes of learning and, you know, discussing. It's interactive. And then 10 minutes, everybody goes and takes a break and then comes back. So I've deliberately, you know, made it that way so that it can, you know, fit with our brains. And I go over the basics of prioritization, talk about the Eisenhower matrix. I talk about the sleep chronotype. And you can, I mean, if you look up sleep chronotype on the web, you can find it. I also have a quiz on my website that kind of goes through different things. So you can find out if you're, you know, lion, bear, wolf, or dolphin. So I talk about the sleep chronotype. We do an interactive quiz where everybody can see like what their sleep chronotype is. We go into time blocking, that kind of thing. It's really the basics. I also have a consulting engagement, typically for slightly bigger businesses or somebody who feels like they've hit a profit plateau. I can't quite get past. So we look at the 5 client-facing processes, for example, client service, client onboarding, and do a process map to figure out where the productivity blockages are. And then when productivity blocks, and the profit can flow through. And then the one that I'm kind of excited about that I'm launching this year, because I got a lot of feedback that this is really what people wanted, was more of a VIP day where I'm working with the entrepreneur, sitting with them and, you know, kind of working through their calendar, like on that day, you know, how are we going to organize it? How do we prioritize? And really kind of getting hands-on in that way. And then there's a couple of accountability calls, because it's really easy to fall off the wagon. You know, you turn off your notifications, and then for some reason you turn them back on, you forget to turn them back off, you know, like these kinds of things. And so there's a couple of follow-up calls just to kind of see where there's a particular place where somebody's gotten stuck, where when I was sitting with them, it seemed really easy. And now it's like, when we got to do our matrix again, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think high performers like to get it done in a day. And so that's a great strategy. Well, thank you so much for this conversation today, JJ. It was such a pleasure to, I think this was the best conversation, by the way. I think this is even better than the one we lost.
I think it was, which is I'm happy about that.
Yes. And so, my friends, to learn more about JJ, go to Jennifer Jank, Jennifer.Jank.com. Take the sleep chronotype quiz. It'll be fun. Get on her email list and let's be productive. Everything that you do has a return on effort. So make sure you're focused on your ROE. Not just your ROI. JJ, thank you so much. And that's it for now, my friend. We will see you next time on Life After Corporate.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.